Hey guys, what's up? Welcome back to Moan's Mini Moan series here on the channel. I love that you guys really, really love this series, so I'm just going to keep going until someone tells me to stop, really. Now, if you're new here, if you just tuned in for this episode, then hey, what's up? My name is Erica, and the whole premise of these videos is that, well, audio, this is more of a podcast, really. But the whole point of it is that I just sit here completely unscripted at home. Today I have a coffee, so if you don't have coffee or a tea, I advise that you get one, because I don't know how long we'll be sitting here. But usually I just sit here completely unscripted and just sort of chit chat about something in regards to mythology that either makes me mad, that happened for the first couple of episodes, or just something I find quite interesting. So for the last few, I've been slightly calmer. But today, as you can see from the title, we're discussing my favorite myth. So this is going to be weird because a lot of classes wouldn't say this is their favorite myth whatsoever. But the myth that is my absolute favorite is the myth of Erisichthon. So Erisichthon is the name that, by the way, is in the thumbnail, and I know probably a lot of people who clicked on this had no clue how to pronounce that. And as far as I'm aware, it's Erisichthon. If you're Greek, then please correct me in the comments below. But my teachers have always said Erisichthon to me. It might just be an English way of saying the name. But holla in the comments. Please, guys, we love the community aspect on the channel, so leave whatever comments you want down there. Please be nice, though. Don't be dicks. We appreciate that. So let's talk about Erisichthon. The place that I first read the Erisichthon myth is actually in Ovid's Metamorphoses, so it is a Roman version of the myth. But the myth is Greek. The starring role of the myth goes to Erisichthon himself, who is a king from Thessaly. Woo! So Thessaly is just a part of Greece, if you guys don't know. If you're not Greek, then I don't know why you would know where Thessaly was unless you study it like I do. But either way, he is a king in Thessaly. Now, Erisichthon is a problematic character, and the reason why I love this myth is because it goes from 0 to 100 quite quickly at the end, but also it is exactly what he deserves. I just think it's the perfect myth, in my personal opinion. It's rather short, so don't expect this will go on for a long time. But Erisichthon, at the start of the myth, because he's the king, he basically, long story short, he ends up chopping down a tree that is sacred to Demeter. So who is Demeter? Demeter is the goddess of crops, agriculture, grain. In the Olympian episode that I put up a couple of weeks ago, when was that? 2 weeks ago? A week ago? Either way. In that episode, I mentioned that Demeter doesn't really have any interesting myths attached to her. And I didn't want to get into this because I knew that I would go on a little bit of a rant. So this is Demeter's best myth aside from the Persephone myth with Hades. So this tree is sacred to Demeter, and it's not like Erisichthon did it by accident. In fact, in the myth, we have lots of little nymphs who are yelling at him, being like, not that tree, any other tree, but that one's sacred to Demeter. And Erisichthon basically turns around, does an evil laugh like a mwahahaha, I don't give a shit, and chops it down anyways. Brilliant. And you know shit's gonna go really downhill after that. You know, because we know, the nymphs know, Erisichthon knows, that's all sacred to a goddess. And what do the gods hate? Disrespect. To be fair, you can disrespect a god by just stepping in the wrong way, in the wrong place. Like Actaeon, for example. If you guys are a mythological nerd like I am, you can recall the myth of Actaeon, and that didn't end well for him too, and that was a complete accident. So back to Erisichthon, though. He ends up going back to his little palace, and he's very, very proud of himself. Demeter starts brewing with anger, and she's like, I'm gonna fuck him up. So she decides to go to the god of hunger. Ooh, this is where it gets juicy. Now, her and hunger can't actually exist in the same place because she is the goddess of grain and agriculture and things that grow, you know, like food to feed people. And hunger, obviously, you know, is skin and bones. And there's this, like, really disgusting description of hunger with like flies all around her and all this kind of jazz. And so Demeter is quite far away from hunger. And Demeter asks hunger to go and sit inside Erisichthon. That is the punishment that she's decided on. She's like, I need you to go and sit in this king's belly for a while so he can understand my wrath. Which is perfect, that the god of grain, the god of giving, you know, like bountiful sort of like, you know, food and all this kind of jazz, like that's what she's got of, that she's gonna take that luxury away from someone. That is the perfect punishment. That is brilliant. Just that alone, that could be the end of the myth, and you'd be like, ooh, Demeter is not out here to play. So Hunger goes and does exactly what they're supposed to do. Hunger sits inside Erisichthon, and as you can probably guess, Erisichthon is ridiculously ravenous. He eats everything in the palace, and he has a daughter called Mestra. And what he decides to do is he decides that he must start selling Mestra because they've eaten all the food. So he's got to sell his daughter to get more food. Now, when Mestra is sold for the first time, she is just like, fuck this shit. This is ridiculous. And so she goes to the beach and she prays to Poseidon. She's like, please, for the love of God, help me. Or Neptune, if you're reading the Roman version. But she prays to him and she's like, please help. Please help me. There has to be a way that I can get out of this. And so he gives her the ability to shapeshift so she can escape. Brilliant. Another brilliant addition to this myth. Now, you might be wondering why Poseidon did this, because gods don't generally just kind of act out of their own kindness, especially just awarding mortals with things like the power to shapeshift. That's not really all that normal. And in some versions of the myth, it is just that Poseidon really liked her. Really, really liked her, sort of wanted to win her over, gave her this power because felt quite bad for her, because, you know, it's not her fault that her dad literally ate everything in the palace and then had everybody buy things for him, more food for him, and even then he still ate everything. So now he's out of money and he's out of food, and so he sold his daughter. That's not really her fault. So in some versions of the myth, he takes pity on her and he does give her the power to shapeshift just because of the unfortunate circumstance. However, in the version in Ovid, it's not as nice. Because the version in Ovid says that actually Neptune at some point before this myth had raped her. And so when she goes and she cries to Poseidon, or Neptune, sorry if we're talking about Ovid. She goes and she cries to Neptune and she says, look, you raped me, you kind of fucking owe me at this point. And that's what she says to Neptune. And so he's sort of like, all right, she's got a point, and he gives her this power. So she escapes and goes back to the palace. And Erisithon then realizes that he can sell her again for more food. Brilliant. So he just keeps selling her and she keeps escaping. It's this really odd sort of like chicken in the egg kind of game. Well, you know, she shows up, she gets sold, and then she turns something else, and then she ends up going missing, and then she goes back to the palace, Erisithon sells her again, she then turns into something else. It's rather funny. It's a rather funny spin on this very odd myth, right? And so he does that a bunch of times, but Erisithon ends up eating everything. He ends up basically eating everything in the land. He is so ravenous. He just eats everything. And the last paragraph is Erisithon eating himself. What? That is the end of the myth. That literally, I think the last line is like, Erisithon bit his own arm and ended up consuming himself. And you're just like, oh my God, what? Like, you'd think Demeter would be like, okay, he's learned his lesson. And, you know, would tell Hunger to like fuck off or something. Nuh-uh. Demeter was like, he's gonna suffer properly. And so he's been selling his daughter nonstop. Doesn't do shit, basically, because he ends up eating himself anyways. And also there's just, after that moment of shock when you finish reading the myth and you're just like, oh my God, he ate himself. I won't lie, there was a moment where I sat there and I just went, how did he do that? Like, how? Did he start with like his hand and go up his arm, or did he start on one arm and then go on the other arm and then on his leg? Like, how do you do that? How did that work? There's just a lot of questions that I have in regards to the rationale of the myth. Now, all joking aside with all those questions, right, we will actually go to the actual text and what it says, because, you know, I oftentimes ask all of those things and I think it's quite silly. But if we go to my translation of Ovid, I actually just pulled it up off the shelf just so that I could quote this for you guys. So right at the end of the poem, when it says that he is eating himself, you can't even say that with a straight face. Right, when it says he eats himself, the way that this translator does it for my Penguin Classic is, the poor wretch nourished his body by making it smaller. Which is such a dark note at the end of the myth. It's so dark. You know, that the only way he could feed his body, that's how hungry he was. That is how powerful this is. The only way that he could be kind to his body and nourish it. That is the word that the translator uses. That's a note, by the way, because I don't have the Latin copy on me. Don't say that in Latin it says this, because I don't have that on me right now at hand. But the use of the word nourished in that translation is just so dark that it's the only way that he could feed his body and be kind to his body and give his body what it needs by giving it itself. My God, that is dark shit, guys. That is real dark. But I love the myth because I think it's absolutely ludicrous. It's ridiculous, but it's also perfect. It's perfect that is how Demeter would punish someone. We don't really see Demeter punishing people in myth. We see a lot of Zeus and Hera really punishes a lot of people. But we don't see that happen with Demeter a lot. And this myth, I thought, really shows off how powerful she truly is. And how she doesn't take nobody's shit. Hello, Erisithon chopped down her tree. Once again, he knew it. And that made her even angrier. That she was like, all right,
All right, we're going to make him suffer.
It's a ridiculous myth. It's ridiculous. It's absolutely absurd. You can go find it in Ovid, as right off the top of my head. Go and search for it in Ovid. I will put the actual quotations and stuff in the description below if you want to see that part where he, like, eats his arm and all that kind of jazz. I'll pop that in the description below for you guys. It's a brilliant myth. It's one that I think is completely underrated. It's one that we don't talk about enough for the absurdity in mythology. So I thought that I would just do a little mini-mode episode on it, and I hope you guys enjoyed it. I hope that that's a myth that you hadn't heard before that you could hear in all its glory here on Moan Inc. So thank you guys so much for listening to this episode. Thank you guys so much for giving Erisithon the time of day. I appreciate it. I really appreciate it because I love that myth. So thank you guys so much, and we'll be seeing you next time for another mini-mode episode here on the channel.